Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Father Ed Friede, who's our guest this week. Father Ed Friede is the pastor of Christ the King Parish in Ann Arbor, Michigan. He's my pastor. I've known Father Ed for quite a few years, and I asked him to be on a program this week because what we're talking about dialing into in particular is the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit and who's been given to us by the Father, and what kind of relationship can we as believers, baptized Catholics, have with the Holy Spirit? And so today I want to talk about some of the ways that Jesus and the Scriptures talk about the Holy Spirit, because we'll ask Father Ed to kind of break open some of the terms and terminology that's used, because I think through it we can understand better the relationship that the Father intends each one of us to have with the Holy Spirit. So welcome back, Father Ed.
Thank you, Peter.
Yeah, I really do thank you for being here and spending the time with us. And I think this stuff is so much up your alley in terms of how you're in your wheelhouse, you might say. There's a lot of things in your teaching wheelhouse, but I think this in particular is wonderful. So the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, in the Gospels, especially the Gospel of John, the Holy Spirit is talked about as a counselor. Jesus said he'll send you the counselor, advocate, teacher, these sorts of things. What does it mean, first of all, that the Holy Spirit is the advocate? And why that terminology? Where does it come from?
Right. Well, the interesting thing, when I was growing up, I remember hearing that the Holy Spirit was the paraclete. And I misheard them and thought they said that the Holy Spirit was the parakeet.
And so it's like you said yesterday. Yeah. You said in your church you kind of didn't know the Holy Spirit other than the bird in the window.
The bird in the window, right. Yeah. But I remember saying to somebody, parakeet, I thought it was a dove.
Yeah.
And that, so there was a complete confusion about that. But paraclete and advocate are actually the same word. Advocate's the Latin word. Literally means advocate is the one who is called to be with you. Paraclete literally is the same thing. It means called to stand beside.
Okay.
And in secular terminology at the time, like the advocate or the paraclete would be the one who stood beside you in court. You know, the one who is with you to defend you, to be with you, to present your interests in typically in a legal kind of setting, but in a much more general familial kind of way. When Jesus says, I'm going to send you another advocate, I'm going to send you another one. Of course, the another one that he's talking about is in addition to himself. So we should see the function of the Holy Spirit, including how do we experience Jesus, Jesus's presence, how is Jesus oriented toward us, how does Jesus love us, want to stand with us, etc. Because when he says, you know, in Greek, there's two different words for another. One is another of a different kind. One is another of the same kind. And the word that's used there in the Greek is another of the same kind, which means that the Holy Spirit will be that advocate for us in the same way that Jesus was. So when we look at how Jesus responded to people's needs, his love, his care, his constant forgiveness, his mercy, then we understand that the Holy Spirit has all those attributes. But when he's called specifically our advocate, it means like he stands beside us in a very particular way, that it's not the case that we have to prove ourselves to him. We don't have to do anything to earn it, to deserve it. In fact, if we approach things that way, it's just exactly the opposite of how things need to happen. Because when Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing, it doesn't admit of a lot of exceptions. So when the Holy Spirit is given to us as a paraclete who stands beside us, we recognize that he is the one that actually empowers us to live in a way that is building the kingdom and pleasing to Jesus. We don't have to perform for him. He makes the performance possible by what he does in us.
In what way is he advocating for us exactly? You know what I mean? Like, what does that mean?
Well, I think it means that he is, in a certain sense, he stands before us as we face the big three opponents, the world, the flesh, and the devil. He is the one that stands beside us to defend us, to give us the power to actually overcome all three of those. When Paul talks in Galatians that our battle is not between the will and the flesh, the battle is between the flesh and the spirit, that's one of the ways in which he, as advocate for us, is even, in a sense, internal to us to give us the power in the spirit to be able to overcome the flesh. Because ever since the fall, you know, our natural tendency, concupiscence, our natural tendency is toward things that are not great for us. And the Holy Spirit is the one who then gives us the power to be able to say no to the flesh, to say no. I'm choosing instead for the kingdom. I'm choosing for virtue. I'm choosing for holiness. I'm choosing for the King. He stands beside us to empower us to do that. And of course, then with also with respect to the world, that the world is constantly trying to get us to embrace this fallen society, this whose values are getting progressively more and more departed from what Jesus intends. And so the consequence of that is that we are constantly barraged with invitations to let ourselves be formed in a way that's counter to the gospel. And the Holy Spirit stands beside us as an advocate to say no to the world, to say, no, we prefer the values of the kingdom. We're going to walk with Jesus. We're going to let the scriptures form our lives instead of letting the world form our lives. And so he stands with us there. And of course, he also then empowers us when we have to deal with temptation and when we're dealing with the devil himself. Because if you put two guys in the ring, and one is a fallen angel and the other is a third person of the Trinity, guess who's going to win, you know?
Yeah. This, I was thinking as you were talking about how the Holy Spirit helps us really subdue the flesh, that power in us that wants to say no to God and yes to me, right? So Ephesians chapter 14, he says, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. He said, if you live by the flesh, you're going to die. You're going to experience the condemnation that the flesh is under. But if you live by the Spirit, now that's given to you, you'll find life. You'll have eternal life. You'll share in the very life that belongs to the King. That's what you're being brought into with the Spirit. And that one of the things the Holy Spirit does and empowers us to do, which is what you're saying. And friends, it's for each and every one of us as you're listening, because you're a human being just like any one of us, right? And you're battling against the flesh. And sometimes you feel like you're not winning that battle, or that you're just trying to white knuckle your way through everything. And really what Paul's trying to tell us here is that the Christian life, which is progressively moving toward greater and greater degrees of freedom and holiness and unity with God, that's a work of the Holy Spirit in us that we cooperate with.
Right, exactly.
Right? We say yes as he comes to subdue the flesh in us, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah. No, it's so good. So the Holy Spirit advocates for us in that way. And the Holy Spirit is also talked about as witness. What does the Holy Spirit come to witness to us?
Well,
to bear witness.
In terms of what we shared a couple of days ago, one of the things that he comes to bear witness is that we can say, Abba, that we have a level of union with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that has been given to us precisely through the power of the Holy Spirit in us, witnessing to us that we can call God our Father, that we are heirs to the kingdom, that all the amazing things that Jesus did for us on the cross, we can bring into our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit and live that way. And, of course, witness, you know, the tricky thing about the Greek word witness, of course, is the word martyr.
Martyr, yeah.
And so martyr is a kind of it's a full commitment. It's all in, as I would say.
Yeah.
Are we all in? The Holy Spirit invites us to be all in, but we can't be all in unless we yield fully to him. But if we do that, then we have 2 millennia of history of what great men and women of God have been able to do precisely because they said yes, because they opened themselves for more, because they were enabled by the Holy Spirit to witness to the love of God present in them, the surrender to Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to be the martyrs and sometimes the actual martyrs that and we've been called to be.
Yeah. Last week, I touched a little bit on 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where St. Paul talks about, you know, the ministry of the Word of God that he's been given to preach the gospel. He said, we don't tamper with the Word of God. He said, but the devil tries to blind the minds of unbelievers so they can't see the glory of God that's shining on the face of Christ. And then he said, and what we do in this ministry, all of us, which is the ministry of the church, is we preach Jesus Christ as Lord. And when that happens, God the Father sheds his light into our hearts so we can see the glory of God shining on the face of Jesus. And that's a way that the Spirit bears witness to the preached word that Jesus is Lord.
Right.
And the Spirit reveals it. Now, we're living in a time of a kind of great outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the grace of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that has come, which is a revelation to the spirit of the believer, from the Spirit of God to the Spirit of the believer, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Can you say something about that a little bit? Because the Spirit is witnessing to us in a way like, wow, I'm seeing this in an entirely new way, right?
Right. I think if we recognize that what we're talking about is a supernatural life, and supernatural life requires a supernatural source. And for us, it isn't enough for us to simply kind of intellectually affirm the validity of a proposition about God. that's part of it. You know, we do that every Sunday when we profess the creed. But we also recognize that we're incapable of holding as true any of the fundamental elements of the creed if it weren't for the fact that God himself, especially through the Holy Spirit, is empowering us to accept them as true. It's kind of a fundamental difference in terms of how you look at faith. Because, you know, some people look at faith in as kind of a blind leap, but for Catholics, faith is much more looked at the way St. Thomas Aquinas looks at faith, which is it's a supernatural light that enables the intellect to know with certainty what the intellect could not otherwise know. And so we're given the gift of faith, which then enables us to see things with his eyes, you know, to see things the way God sees things, which is, of course, what we were built to do in the first place, that we are fundamentally incomplete without that relationship with the Trinity. You know, getting back to Augustine's great phrase about you've made us for yourself and our hearts won't rest until they rest in you. But in the same way, our minds won't rest until they rest in him either. And so God, the Holy Spirit, gives us that gift of faith so that we can then see as true what he teaches us about the kingdom.
Yeah. And the fundamental witness, I think it was Cardinal Sunes put it this way. He said that the fundamental mission of the Holy Spirit is to reveal to every human heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Right. And then Paul tells us that no one can say Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Of course, I mean, literally anybody can say those words. What does he mean by that? How are those things connected together?
Well, my favorite story of how they're connected together is the seven Jewish exorcists who tried to use the name of Jesus to cast out demons in the Acts of the Apostles. And the guy who's possessed basically says, well, I know who Jesus is, but who are you? And he says, and he beats them up and they run into the street naked and bleeding because they were using the name of Jesus without the authority to use the name of Jesus because they weren't his. They thought it was just some kind of new magic phrase that the disciples were using to cast out demons. And they found out it's not about magic, it's about relationship. It's about a relationship with the person of Jesus and then empowers us in the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. You know, the absolute non-negotiable Christocentricity of our faith is kind of revealed.
It's a big word now. It's a big 25-cent word. Christocentricity. What does that mean?
Christo, yeah. Christ, of course. Centricity, center. The Christ center of everything.
Yeah.
Because even if we look at the Trinity, how is it we come to know the Father? Well, Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, it says the world can't receive the Holy Spirit. Well, who can receive the Holy Spirit? Those who are being enlightened by Jesus himself. So Jesus is both the one who sends us the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one who leads us to the Father. Jesus is a non-negotiable center of our union with the Trinity itself. So if we want to have a deeper union with Father and with the Holy Spirit, then we always focus on the King of Kings. And of course, then it's kind of reciprocal because then the function of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is to reveal Jesus, to proclaim Jesus, to help establish in our hearts that Jesus is Lord. And of course, one of the powerful ways that that happens is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we've been given, that we can announce to the world, we know who he is.
That's well said, Father. And it's the center of meant to be the center of your personal faith, too, friends. As you're listening today, the Holy Spirit wants to come to you, wants to reveal more of Jesus to you. Ultimately, in that, wants to reveal more of the Father's love for you and give you a rock-solid identity that's rooted in faith, hope, and love. You know who you are, why you're here, and where you're going. It all starts with Jesus for us, and it's a gift of the Holy Spirit that makes it possible. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.